Matson, director on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll be getting to the lines very quickly. But I really got to say this, and I couldn't believe this when I read it. You've heard of all the crazy stuff that Republicans have done, saying that there are space lasers starting the California fires, saying that somebody controls a satellite from Italy to change votes, saying that the insurrectionists on January 6th were really variously FBI agents, Black Lives Matter activists, all in disguise in fur and war paint and horns and all this. Okay, is there anything nuttier? Is there anything nuttier they could say? Yeah, there is something nuttier. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, put out this statement, seriously, and I'm going to read it to you. He called on Biden to boycott the Winter Olympics in China coming up. And here's what he said, quote, "The Chinese will use the Winter Olympics as a great funnel for precious American DNA, harvesting our finest and fittest for genomic information to reach military dominance." And it was in a language like in the old, during the Cold War, there were Cold War novels about the evils of the other side. This is part science fiction. And he demands that we withdraw because the or get an agreement that's enforceable, and obviously nothing with the Chinese enforceable, that they will not collect DNA of American athletes, whether for stealing their gym clothes, Jesus, or where they test them for drugs, because they can make super soldiers out of them. Now, look. Okay, they want to steal their gym clothes. They can send a guy to get a job in a gym in the United States. So they probably already have. They have guys who are working at the CIA and stealing our stuff. Tom Cotton, what an idiot. Boycott the Olympics because they will use the Winter Olympics as a giant funnel for precious American DNA, harvesting our finest and fittest for genomic information to reach military dominance. This guy's a nut. He belongs in asylum. Tired of these guys. Going to the lines in order, starting with Slammer Madison, my friend. Everybody else, don't hang up. Slammer Madison, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Matt. I have to presume that Joe Manchin is a Democrat because organized labor with the mines in West Virginia are what got him to his position. I think organized labor has to put pressure on Manchin to get him to do the right thing and side with the Democrats on the issues that you speak of. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that it's great. I think labor should put a lot of heat on the guy. But here's the problem. The Chamber of Commerce cut him off in 2010. To cut him off because they were hoping to flip it Republican. And remember, that was a very, very bad year for Democrats. And Manchin stood tall. He was the governor at one time and very popular guy. So he ran and he runs way ahead of the ticket. You know, Trump wins that state by, I think, 30%. And Manchin wins by 3%. Okay. That means that almost a third of the state voted for Trump and Manchin. That's amazing. But the last time around, he only won by 3%. He squeaked in. And if a Trump or somebody like that runs in 2024 and ends up getting the same kind of margin or whatever, at some point, Manchin no longer has a job. Now, Manchin, look, he was the governor. I think he was the Secretary of State before that. Now he's the senator. What a career. He could stand tall. He could stand tall and just agree to vote for the Voting Rights Act and agree to suspend the filibuster just for that, the way Moscow Mitch suspended it for Supreme Court appointments. Just a one-to-one correspondence. And then go back and say, and something like 70% in the polls of West Virginians approve of that bill. And he could do the same thing with infrastructure and agree to vote for it. And then they do that by budget reconciliation. They don't have to suspend the infrastructure. He should go back and say, yeah, I stood tall for the filibuster. Suspended on the one case, voting rights, because they did it on Supreme Court. And that's cool. That's fine. One-to-one. But in general, we both keep it bipartisan. And on the other one, budget reconciliation, money, that's done that way. And it's good for West Virginia. He might win re-election. He ain't going to win re-election this way. Thanks for calling in. Next, Randy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Randy?
Good morning, Matt. The I want to sort of get back to basics because I think what has happened is that the entire Republican Party and so many Americans in general have just repudiated, you know, the social contract that is that amorphous, concept that we always believed in, that we all want to work for our greater good. And I think you may be old enough to remember when television sets were becoming common. It started out in the 1950s, and by 1960 they were in every household. They had to have a TV just like you had to have a refrigerator. And in those days, they used to talk about it as the idiot box and the boob tube. And I'm thinking maybe after 60, 70 years, we have become stupid enough that we're simply not able to continue with our democracy. Certainly that the G7 conference, you know, that just ended, it was this nice, quiet, adult thing. And I wonder how many people were wishing we were back to the freak show that Trump gave us every year.
Yeah, well, you raised a lot of interesting points. Yeah, I do remember the rise of the TV era became common. I don't personally think that as new technology comes in, that it changes people's appetite for democracy. I mean, when the printing press came in, when Gutenberg invented the modern printing press, you know, the Chinese invented it centuries before that, and they found on Crete, the island of Crete, they found a small clay, was really a printing press. It was a rotating thing where a guy, they don't know who it was, had different characters on it, and you could print quickly, and inventions like that die out, and then they come back. Gutenberg, the mechanical printing press, was the key. And a lot of people said that's the end of the world. Everybody will read, and then they'll get all lathered up. And what it did is it advanced the world. And then radio came in, and everybody go, oh, you know, in the old days, the Navy had a signal with flags. And we had to learn it when I was in Navy OCS. You had the corpons, and you raise this flag and that to say which way to go and what to do. Nobody uses it anymore. It's all, but before radio in the 19th century, you had to use it. Oh, the radio, that's the end of it. And then TV, that's the end of it, and all this. And then the internet, it's never the end of it. People have an appetite for democracy, but a significant people basically are more comfortable with authoritarians because they want safety. And that particular dichotomy, that particular fight goes on throughout human history. It's going on now just with different technologies. So, I think personally, a lot of people are very relieved to have Joe Biden in there. He did win by 7 million votes, popular votes. I mean, people are tired of the freak show. It's dangerous. You wake up every day. This is not just a bunch of freaks, you know, in a burlesque. I mean, this is somebody with over 7,000 nuclear weapons. This is somebody in charge of a country where at any given time, we have tourists all over the place, vulnerable American interests. We have military assets, submarines, planes, troops, very close to Russia. You got to be very careful. People don't want amateurs. They wouldn't hire an amateur to run, you know, IBM or General Motors, and we don't want an amateur running the United States. Joe Biden's honest. He's experienced. And on the G7, I think people were glad that everybody got together and said NATO is back, the EU is back. We've resolved the trade difference between the Airbus and Boeing. You know, there've been a fight on the various airplane manufacturers. This is all good. This is all very, very good. So democracy is always under attack. You know, when our founding fathers pushed it through the Revolutionary War, you know, and Benjamin Franklin was asked, what kind of government have you given us? As he walked out of the convention, he said, a democracy. He said, a republic. If you can hold it, a republic is basically you don't have a king and you elect the president. So that we are going to hold it. We threw Trump out. We are going to hold it. And the fact is that our military stayed loyal. You know, in other countries, they might take things over. They don't take them over here. Our FBI and CIA stayed loyal. Our judiciary stayed loyal. And that is the deal. So, Randy, thank you for calling in. Very, very profound points. Going back to the lines, Diallo of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Mario, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, what's up?
Good. Well, you are a student of history, and I respect your savviness, your experience. Now, you know, all we are talking about today or any time in the life of this country, if you don't have a proper, counting of the votes, let's put it that way. If the level of powers are corrupt, meaning the Republicans want to be the one to decide who won which state just by deciding, okay, we don't like those votes, we don't like this one, so it's our guy that won. Everything else doesn't matter. This is the fundamental, the core of this country. You don't have that. You don't have a country. How did we get here? You, every morning, I want you to shout on top of our lungs, you know, metaphorically, so people wake up. We are losing the country every single day. If these guys keep pushing these rules and laws throughout the country, we will get up one day, we won't be able to decide anything as a people. So I leave you at that. Listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Good points. It reminds me of something that Stalin said. He was a murderer, the head of what was then the Soviet Union. And he once said, it doesn't matter who people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. It doesn't matter who people vote for. It matters who counts the votes. That was Stalin that said that. And Trump says that. And Moscow Mitch says that. And Kevin McCarthy says that. And that what they're trying to do is have the people who count the votes. In a lot of these states, what they've done is they stripped the Secretary of State and elections commissions from oversight of these elections and left it to the legislatures who are, in other words, you have Voss counting the votes in Wisconsin if it got through, which it won't. But in some of these, that's what's going to happen. Now, when it comes through, we're going to have a federal judiciary that still is loyal to the Constitution, still believes in democracy, that puts in injunctions that prevents the legislatures from turning them over to cyber ninja to count. And they'll lose some of them, and they'll change some ballots. And they will reverse rotors in the machines or whatever they use now. When I was in the Navy, we had rotors. That's a long time ago. They'll reverse whatever they have to reverse. We cannot have Stalin elections. So you're raising a good point that that's going on, but I'm confident in American democracy that when push comes to shove, that is not going to happen. But you're absolutely right. According to Stalin and according to the Republican Party, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It matters who counts the votes. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.